The poet William Blake wrote the lines, "Tiger, tiger, burning bright, in the forests of the night." He spelled it T-Y-G-E-R. Those are the best-known lines of the 46 poems that make up William Blake's Songs of Innocence and Experience. An American composer, William Bolcom, spent decades setting all of those poems to music, and the result was called one of the monumental achievements of modern classical music. Today, more than 20 years after its premiere, a recording of the surprising work is being released. NPR's Jeffrey Freimanwire reports.
Songs of Innocence and Experience is huge, which is one of the main reasons it's never been recorded for commercial release until now. It takes more than 2.5 hours to perform and calls for expanded orchestra, organ, saxophones, 6 or 7 percussionists. There are 2 adult choirs and a children's choir, 5 to 10 solo singers, guitar, electric violins, electric guitar, and electric bass. When he finished writing it 2 decades ago, Bolcom sent a copy of the score to his friend, conductor Leonard Slatkin.
The work was all over the stylistic map. It ranged from 12-tone pieces to reggae, to London rock, blues, folk music, jazz. I mean, everything was in this piece that you could imagine. And so the first impression was, how is this really going to work?
Cruelty has a human heart, and jealousy a human face.
John Rockwell, senior culture correspondent for the New York Times, reviewed the concert in April that was the basis for this recording, and says the piece does work.
It really does sustain a level of inspiration and a kind of through line of coherence that is hard to believe for the variety of idioms that he uses. It's an amazing patchwork over time when he was teaching and writing other pieces, and so that the perceived coherence of it is all the more amazing.
Bolcom set each of the 46 poems using styles of music suggested by the texts themselves, which he says led him in unexpected directions.
I really picked up the cues that the poems gave me, and I constantly was surprised. The Shepherd, for example, I said, I can't be doing country and western. Why am I doing this? But it wouldn't be so much, I think I'm going to do this in country and western. It's because the tune that came was country and western.
For years the lamb's innocent call, and
Leonard Slatkin, who conducted this performance, says there's clearly no other piece like it. The most frequent comparison, based on sheer numbers, is to Gustav Mahler's Eighth Symphony, often called the Symphony of 1,000.
Some people say, okay, it's like Mahler 8, but it's not. It's a series of, in some cases, disconnected poems. Some people say, well, it's an opera. Well, it's not, because there are no characters. Some people think it's an oratorio. I think roughly it's a song cycle, just employing many different styles, many different elements, that somehow managed to come together because of the words of Blake.
Oh, what a multitude they seem, these flowers of London town, a city in companies, they sit with radiance on their own.
William Bolcom was a student at the University of Washington in the mid-1950s when he became interested in the poetry of William Blake, deciding then to set the complete Songs of Innocence and Experience to music. He wrote the first few movements while still in his teens. Blake wrote the texts in the late 1700s. He was a poet, engraver, and mystic who some considered mad. Blake's worldview, as Bolcom sees it, embraced the entire universe of necessary contrary states, innocence and experience, good and evil.
This and that, and how they relate, and what is the electricity between them? That's where I found myself abiding as a reader, and I think it's where Blake lived, and that's really in the end where I became comfortable as a composer.
But work on Songs of Innocence and Experience, done on his own time, was put on hold as Bolcom's career advanced. In 1973, he took a job teaching composition at the University of Michigan School of Music.
The university, I thought, would afford me some time to begin to finally think about the whole piece and make it work in some kind of way, which I think it did do, and I'm extremely thankful for that, aside from which it gave me a place to do it.
As he wrote, Bolcom realized that the resources he had available to him were ideal for the piece he had in mind.
The reason I used those saxophones and all those people is because I actually did a kind of a demographic of what the School of Music actually had in numbers of students and what was available and what was not to be found in the average orchestra, because here's what the kids were doing.
The piece had its world premiere in Stuttgart in 1984 and its American premiere a few months later in Ann Arbor with professional soloists and student ensembles, as in the new recording. Klaus Heyman, CEO of Naxos Rights International, says his label had been looking for repertoire for their American Classics series, trying to identify major works that had never been recorded.
And at the end of the meeting, they all said, well, the most important thing that needs to be recorded in American classical music is Bill Bartholdt's Songs of Innocence.
The project was only economically possible because rehearsal time and space and hundreds of musicians were made available by the university, and many of the artists who were paid gave back their fees to reduce the costs of the recording. Bolcom says because so many School of Music students were involved in the performance, musicians who might otherwise never have crossed paths got to know each other.
That is, I think, very much part of the whole meaning of the piece, is some kind of bringing large numbers of people together to work on something together, which is not a common occurrence these days.
And though William Bolcom has spent decades working on this project in one way or another, this obsession doesn't seem to have distracted him. In 1988, he won a Pulitzer Prize for a set of 12 piano etudes. He's written 7 symphonies, and the Lyric Opera of Chicago will be premiering his most recent of several operas, called A Wedding, this December. Jeffrey Freimanweyer, NPR News.